while I try to put something on the board. So the title of the thought this morning is Cotter Pins and Castle Nuts. If you look the word up, or the term cotter pin, it says of unknown origin. And it goes to, there was no man by the name of Cotter that invented it that they know of. And it refers to maybe an old mechanism that was used to, and this is a supposition, that was used to hold a kettle over a fire or a fireplace. And that term, it's not cotter pin, it's another word, but they think maybe cotter pin come from that. And it goes back into the 1500s, that term does. So cotter pins has been around a long time, and they still use them in mechanical things. And it's a very small, it's very malleable, it's bendable. It seems like such an insignificant little part, but it's very important. And it works with what we call a castle nut. It works with a nut that has little slots in it, and when you tighten it, you line up the slot with a hole in the bolt, and you put your cotter pin in it, and you bend it over. and it keeps the nut from coming off. A number of years ago, I was working at a new car dealership, and we got a new vehicle in. It was a little Ford Ranger pickup, brand new vehicle, and it came off of the transport, and we done the things we normally do to new vehicles, checked the fluids and the air in the tires, and we drove it down the road 4 or 5 miles to make sure everything was fine, and it became part of a rental fleet that the dealership owned. And the first customer that we loaned it out to drove it from Vanita down around Grove somewheres, Bernice, somewheres in the hills and the curves. And they got down there and they pulled up to their mailbox to get their mail. And then the vehicle wouldn't go. And it was acting strange. And they got out and both front tires were headed opposite directions. And it just so happened that on the assembly line, somebody didn't put the castle nuts or the cotter pins in the steering linkages on any of them. And we'd driven it down the road 4 or 5 miles and didn't notice it in our pre-delivery inspection. I don't remember who did that. But then this fella had drove it 20 miles or so and down through curves and hit bumps and chug holes. And it just so happened that when he stopped at the mailbox, the steering linkages came off. And those two small parts had never been put on. Now, that's pretty scary. It could have caused a death. It could have caused a terrible accident because those two small parts was missing. So, in life, we are faced with the challenge of keeping everything together. And we probably... if you feel real bad and real discouraged, you're tempted to not come to church, right? Which really, that's the best place for you to come if you feel discouraged. So remember that. And we come here because generally we want to be encouraged, but we're not destitute a lot of times when we come. Sometimes we come and we feel broken and we feel overcome. The song we were singing there was Be an Overcomer. And you know, the Lord wants us to be an overcomer in life. He wants us to rise above the troubles. He wants us to keep it all together. He wants us to be able to look troubles in the eye and pass the rough rocks with a smile and a shout. He wants us to be able to do that. And sometimes we look at life and we think, oh, it's so complicated. There's so many moving parts, and there's a lot of moving parts on a vehicle. There's a lot of things to keep together. And one of the things that keeps some of those things together today, still yet, is an old term that's been around for hundreds of years, literally, is a cotter pin. So I'd like for us to look into what I want us to get a hold of two concepts today that if we will keep them in place in our life, ultimately we can be an overcomer. It doesn't matter what the problem is. It doesn't matter what the vice is. It doesn't matter what the temptation. It doesn't matter what wreckage happens around us. We can be an overcomer if we'll keep these two components in place in our life. If we lose one of them, if we lose both of them, we're going to have a wreck. All right? I want us to keep that in mind. We had to go tow a new vehicle in that had less than 50 miles on it because of two little pieces that somebody had just failed. Maybe they turned away and that one passed them on the assembly line. I don't know how it happened. But somehow it got delivered, loaded on a transport, unloaded off of a transport or a rail. I don't know how many times it got moved, but it got moved several times, drove 25 or 30 miles, and then it all come apart. And the devil wants our life to come apart. He wants us to be a wreck. He wants us to self-destruct. And I want to tell you, if we'll keep these two things, we want to talk about, and they're basic concepts, all right? They're basic, fundamental things. In 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, in the 4th verse, it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." You got any strongholds in your life today? You got any places that seems like is an insurmountable obstacle that you can't rise above? Might be something that seems like it's knocking on your door all of the time. It may be a temptation. It may be a weakness. It may be a failure that it just seems like it's impossible to for you to rise above. And the devil is there whispering in your ear constantly, failure, failure. You can't do it. You can't rise above it. Here it comes again, and you know how it's going to happen. You know that you're going to fail. You know that you're not going to be able to rise above it. But I'm here today tell you today that it's possible to rise above all of those things. You can be an overcomer by the help and the grace of God. It's not because you're some exceptionally strong person, emotionally or physically or anything like that, but there's two things we want to get to. I'm trying to build up to it, but I want you to realize life looks complicated. Life looks difficult. There is things that looks insurmountable, and yet, when it gets right down to it, there's some keys. Sometimes cotter pins are called cotter keys. But there's some keys that'll make it different for us today. In Revelations, the 12th chapter, Revelations is a book of the Bible that many people skirt away from. And there are difficult passages to understand, but I'd like to read two verses in chapter 12 of Revelations. It says, "And I heard a loud voice saying, in heaven now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." Any of y'all ever been to a zoo? I've been to a zoo. Taking my children to a zoo. You know they have wild animals at the zoo? They don't just have cats and dogs and little bunny rabbits, but they have lions and tigers and gorillas. Have you ever thought about what would happen if one of those gorillas was able just to open the door and walk out amongst the crowd? Would that alarm you at all? It would me. And what if the tigers hadn't been fed for 2 or 3 days and somebody left the gate open? Don't you think he'd find lunch somewheres amongst the people that's in there? I don't think he would discriminate against he'd just eat the closest one that he come to if he was. They're wild animals. They still have that nature in them, you see. But the scripture tells us that the devil has been defeated. He has some parameters and that he can only go so far. And we can put him back in his cage with what we're going to read in the next verse. He says here, that the accuser of the brethren is cast down. He's talking about Satan and his forces there. He says in the next verse, "And they overcame him by how? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death." They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So here's the two simple things that'll bring you victory in your life is the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. What's he talking about there? The blood of the Lamb, he's talking about Christ dying for our sins on the cross. I'd like to turn to Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, and read what Isaiah said in prophecy about this. And I would hope that every one of us here is familiar with the story of the crucifixion of Christ and how that Christ was crucified for our sins. And in Isaiah, he said in chapter 53, beginning of verse 5, he says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes were healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Jesus came as a supreme sacrifice. He was offered on the cross so that you and I could put the devil back in his cage. All right? That's the blood of the Lamb. It's a very simple concept, but we got to get a hold of it. The blood of the Lamb. How did they overcome the accuser of the brethren in Revelation? By the blood of the Lamb. He's talking about Jesus Christ being sacrificed on the cross for your sins, for your transgressions. And he said, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You want to have victory over the complicated things in life? It's the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. The blood of the Lamb. Jesus died for you. Jesus died for your situation, whatever it might be. It might be the most complicated thing that any human being has ever experienced. And yet, it has to come under submission to the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. You know that castle nuts lose their value if you don't put a cotter pin with them. I can put a castle nut on and I can have the hole in the bolt and the hole can be perfectly lined up. If I don't put a cotter pin in there, it doesn't do me any good. I might as well put another kind of nut on there. But when I put a castle nut on and a cotter pin through the bolt, I hope my picture makes sense this morning. Those two working together it's an assurance. You know how often a cotter pinned nut, what's the probability of that coming loose and coming off? If it's done correctly, it just don't. It just don't. You get that? It don't come off. It doesn't fail. You know the failure rate of the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony? It don't. It don't fail. It's successful. It's simple concept. The blood of the Lamb. Jesus died for your situation. You got a problem in your life that you can't seem to rise above? The blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. That's the fix for it. It's, yes, you could get some counseling. I'm not opposed to that. Yes, you could explain your problems and someone can help you, maybe point you into some better habits. But you know what's going to fix it? To where it won't fail again? It's the blood of the Lamb. And when you realize Jesus died to help me rise above this, whatever it is. So try to keep that in your head for a while. We're going to talk about the cotter pin now. In John, the 3rd chapter, in the 3rd verse, Jesus was talking to Nicodemus. You remember Nicodemus coming to Jesus before he was crucified, somewhat early in his ministry, maybe, in verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." What does it mean to be born again? We'll read the rest of it, but it means that you have recognized that Jesus died for my sins. He died for me and my problems. And when I come to him and confess and repent, then I can become, the scripture says in another place, I can become a new creature, a new man. And that's a testimony. You know, people put t-shirts on sometimes a day that says, been there, done that. You seen that? What are they talking about? I've had the experience. I've skydived. I've been on the zip line. I've skied down the whatever slope. I've done all, whatever it is. Been there, done that. You know what the testimony is? I've been born again. God's changed my life. I came to the place that I not only believed He died for me, but I accepted that He died for me. I confessed and repented. The blood of the Lamb. The word of my testimony. When you tell the devil, I believe Jesus died for my situation, and I believe I'm a new creature. I have been born again. Jesus said, you must be born again. When you have that testimony, the devil has to get back in his cage. He can't take you down that path any longer. There is victory for your complicated situation, whatever it might be. There is nothing that will not come under this simple, fundamental truth of the gospel. I believe there's hope in the gospel. And I don't believe that it's narrowly been exposed or shared with just a few people. I believe it's available to everyone. Every one of you here this morning, and not just every one of you here, but everyone across the face of the world, if they can humbly get a hold of the fact that Jesus died for me and my situation, the blood of the Lamb. That's what He's talking about. Jesus shed His blood for us and our situation. If I will come and humble myself and repent, He can help me to have a testimony. The word, when I'm faced with whatever it is in life, I can say, I know it's different. Jesus saved my soul. I've been born again. And the devil has to get back in his cage. That old tiger and that old gorilla that is kept behind the bars, that's where you're going to keep him. The devil has to stay in there. He has to stay away from you. But you can't go through life and forget to keep your cotter pins in. If you take the cotter pin out, there's a potential of the nut coming loose by many things. I can stand here and tell you that old machinery had more cotter pins than new ones. And as time has went on, manufacturers and engineers has decided that there's times that cotter pins aren't necessary. And they've been pretty successful. But steering linkages is one of the places that cotter pins and castle nuts are still used today. And it's such an old, old concept that they don't even know where it come from. And it's such an old, old concept that Jesus died for you. He died for your situation. He died for your complicated issue in life. And if you will couple that with a sincere testimony, I humbled myself before the Lord. I asked Him to forgive me of my sins, and I know He met me. It'll fix. It will not fail in the time of test. But you got to have them together. And you got to use them and apply them. And I'm going to tell you, success in life will happen. It will be. It will be. The end result is you will be able to pass the rough rocks with a smile and a shout. Because you know that your Redeemer liveth. Jesus not only shed His blood for us. He not only died for us, but He rose again. And as Stephen, the man, the first martyr, was able to get a vision of Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father, He's still there for you and for me. He's here to save your soul. He's here to give you power to rise above your issue today. I desire your prayers. We might stand and sing number 172.